This is The Pulse. I'm Maiken Scott. A sweeping piece of civil rights legislation celebrates its 25th anniversary this week.
Every man, woman, and child with a disability can now pass through once closed doors into a bright new era of equality, independence, and freedom.
George H.W. Bush signed the Americans with Disabilities Act on July 26th of 1990, and we're going to take a look at some of the changes it has brought, first from a personal perspective. Wan Chin remembers what things were like before the ADA was established. He's a lawyer and served as the executive director of the Mayor's Commission on People with Disabilities in Philadelphia in 1994. Here's his story.
I was injured in June of 1986 after diving into a wave off of Long Beach Island, hitting a sandbar and breaking my neck. Left me paralyzed from the chest down with no use of my legs, limited use of my arms, and no use of my fingers. So when I got hurt, I had just finished my first year of college at Texas Christian University in Fort Worth, Texas. And I know I had a goal to go back, so I did go back in August of 1987. I was taking my LSATs, which are the law school entrance exams, probably the most important test I was going to take at that time. And there was no opportunity to request any type of reasonable accommodation for the test. And I took the test at TCU in one of those auditoriums. And I knew at least, well, there isn't going to be a desk there from my prior experience there. And I said, can I at least get a table or a desk so I could take the exam? And they said, we'll take care of it. And when I got there that morning, there was no desk, there was no table. And this is the LSATs, and I had to take them then because that timing of that test depended on when I was going to apply to law school. And so there was no postponing it. So we improvised. We got two chairs, just regular desk chairs, and they found a piece of plywood. And they put the plywood on top of the two chairs and made a desk. I mean, it was an interesting way to take the LSATs. The plywood was grainy and had chips in it, and it made filling in circles a bit difficult. It wasn't ideal, but you know, my mindset in 1986 was you adapt to whatever situations you have in front of you and you make the best of it. There was no law that I could point to or no rules that I could say, hey, you guys are violating this or you guys are violating that. It was just adapt and overcome. Getting upset back then wouldn't have accomplished what I wanted to accomplish. But I can tell you now, 28 years post my injury, 25 years post signing of the ADA, if I see a business or if I see a situation where the accessibility is not there, I do get upset. I mean, the ADA was a huge landmark piece of legislation that granted civil rights to probably the largest minority group in the country. It came with a price that many businesses and state governments and employers were questioning on how to fund. How were businesses going to make their places of business accessible? How much would it cost them? How much would the state governments need to make their public transit systems accessible? I would say back in 1994, when I took the job in the mayor's office, there were only a handful of buses, except the buses that had lifts on them. You know, they would finally find a bus that would have a lift on them and the driver would drive by. Now the lift isn't working, or it's too full, or they just kind of didn't want to be bothered by it. Now, I think if you look around the city of Philadelphia, just about every single bus is lift equipped or ramp equipped. You know, one of the hot issues right now facing cities, and not necessarily city government, is accessible taxi cabs. We see a couple around the city of Philadelphia. There's still instances where I go out there and I get frustrated thinking that we're 25 years post ADA. Why can't I get into this store? Am I going to turn around and file a lawsuit? That's just not the type of person I am. Am I going to take my business elsewhere? Absolutely. You know, my dollars are green just like everyone else's dollars, and I'm more than willing to take them to a business that understands and is welcoming to me. The curb cuts and the transportation, you know, they're governed by, you know, two parts of the ADA, which talk about public accommodations and state programs. I think the third part of the ADA, which I think is still something we deal with every day, is employment. You know, how do we employ people with disabilities? And that's a tougher question. You know, we need to bridge the gap between the needs of the employers and the needs of the people with disabilities and their need to find work. And I think once we can improve in that area, then we've really accomplished what I think the ADA was intended to accomplish.
Wan Shin is a lawyer with Ernst & Young in Philadelphia and has been on the board of the Inglis Foundation, an advocacy group for people with disabilities, since 2012. Karen Shukherjee produced this profile. So Shin mentioned the importance of work for people with disabilities, and joining us now to talk more about that very topic is Fred Maas. He's vice president of the Comcast Foundation and was recently chairman of the American Association of People with Disabilities. Fred, thank you so much for being here.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
The numbers are not pretty when it comes to disability and employment, even though there are factors to consider, such as age. People with disabilities tend to be older, but give us a snapshot.
Sure. So if you think about the general population of people with disabilities in the United States, it's about 20%. So think of that. About one in five Americans has some type of disability. Of that, about 65% are employable. But the unemployment rate of people with disabilities is about twice of the average of what, you know, people who don't have a disability is. So I think there are many ways that we can help to overcome, you know, that disparity between the employed and unemployed.
Like what? What has to happen to change those numbers?
You know, while I think the ADA has made some great advancements as far as removing the physical barriers that exist for people with disabilities, it's been my experience that there are still attitudinal barriers. I think there are a lot of misconceptions about employing somebody with a disability. For instance, you know, workplace accommodations. I think a lot of employers still feel that to accommodate somebody with a disability, it's going to cost thousands and thousands of dollars, when in fact, the average workplace accommodation costs $500 or less. You know, they're probably going to need a lot of time off because of doctor's appointments and lots of other things, when in fact, the attendance rate for people with disabilities who are employed is much higher than folks who don't have some type of disability. Employee retention is another misconception. I think folks have a tendency to feel that people with disabilities are going to move around a lot from job to job once they're in the workforce. And the exact opposite is true. What you'll find is that people with disabilities who are employed by a company typically want to stay with that company because that company has shown an interest. So that employee has that just loyalty to that company. They want to stay. They'll stay longer.
Fred, you use a wheelchair. What have been some of the experience you've had in the workforce and some of the challenges you faced?
Sure. So, you know, all of my corporate work experience has been, you know, actually since I had my accident about 35 years ago. And it's been interesting. So my first corporate job 2 years after my accident was in a corporate setting. My office just happened to be on the second floor of a building that had no elevator. So every day, two guys who became some of my best friends would carry me, chair and all, to my office on the second floor. And now here we are, you know, all these years later, where elevators are in place, ramps are in place, you know, next to stairs, et cetera. So I would say for the most part, businesses are accessible.
Who can do the work of convincing employers that this is a good deal? Who are kind of the ambassadors?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's up to individuals and it's up to organizations. There are lots of great nonprofit organizations across the country that can help with educating employers. Easter Seals is one. The ARC is another. You know, and on and on. But frankly, I think we as individuals with disabilities have to have a stronger voice and speak a little louder and say, you know what, we're here. We want to work. Let us help educate you about how to go about it.
Fred, thank you so much for talking with me.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.